Honorable audience, all, peace be unto you.
As we say in our religion, As-salamu alaykum.
We begin the formal acknowledgement of Muslims
that there is but one God, one Lord, the Creator. He has no partners sharing authority or rule with him. He is one alone in the rule of the heavens and the earth, and all others are creatures and servants. And we acknowledge the last messenger of God to whom the last revelation came, the Quran, the holy book of Muslims all over the world, that he is the messenger of that Lord, of that God, and his servant. And we pray peace and blessings be upon him, upon his descendants, companions, and the righteous all, and also upon us be peace. We are happy to be here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, for the recognition that is being given to the construction of the first mosque, masjid in Arabic, for the state of North Carolina. Again, we are touched by the name that has been given to this mosque, Omar Ibn Said, and we feel that it is very significant that we of African descent have built a masjid. And speaking of you here in Fayetteville, have built the masjid, and the first one here, and named it after Omar Ibn Said. Our talk this afternoon, we call Ta'aleem. Ta'aleem is in the tradition of our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was born in Arabia about 1400 years ago and was established among the people of his land for his uprightness, for his flawless character, and was called the Honorable and Honest One before he was even missioned, a prophet, a messenger. Our talk today is Ta'aleem, which means teaching, really teaching. Ta'aleem means a teaching and exchange of knowledge and understanding. And we hope it will be that for all of you, or at least we hope that it will be worthwhile to you. It's on our talk is on inherent spirit and character. Inherent spirit and character, and how I believe that the black people, and I'm using the term now of the world, black people, black nation, Africa and wherever our forefathers, ancestors and member descendants in the line of that line of descendancy of the race are on this earth a relationship that they have, that we have, with this inherent spirit and character. We are called the black people around the world, black people. And we know because the skin of the African man is black, although there are members of our race, so-called race, whatever, in that land, native people of that land, who are not literally black, but they are called black because of the uniqueness in terms of color for our people when it comes to blackness. We know that there are some other people who are black-skinned also, and they are not of Africa. The people of India, especially southern parts of India, color-wise, they are found to be as black as any African in Africa. But they are not called black people. They're called Indians and by other names, but not black people. Let me now give a quote from Muhammad, the Messenger of God, who said, "Everyone is born Muslim, and it is his environment, his parents, that make him otherwise." So here we have in the songs of Muhammad the Prophet a definition of Muslim, alluded to if not clearly expressed. And it is obvious from his statement that identity called Muslim is something that everyone has as a creature of God, as a human being created by God. Because he said everyone is born Muslim, that means that it is a native quality. It is a native property, a native disposition, a native orientation put into the creature by God himself when he made the creature. And Muhammad, the Messenger of God, has said that all of us have that we are born with that. Now we know Muslim proper. So this is the Muslim in the scientific sense, if we may use that term scientific for this explanation. This is Muslim in the scientific sense that the Prophet was pointing to, peace be upon him. But we know Muslim proper now, the historical Muslim is a person who believes in the religion of Islam, called al-Islam in the text of the Holy Book, who believes in Islam, that God is one, and Muhammad, born in Arabia 1400 years ago, is the messenger of God. That's the simple declaration of faith, and whoever believes that is called Muslim. We say, La ilaha illallah, there is but one God. Muhammad Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger of God. And that alone, that simple, that is enough as a declaration to make anyone a declared Muslim, a Muslim proper. There are also Muslims by family descendancy, because they were born to Muslim parents, born in Muslim country and Muslim environment. They never made a formal declaration of faith. They have known nothing but the religion, that religion. They are Muslims by family tradition, or by virtue of them being in a Muslim born in a Muslim land. And you know, there are many of us who are Christians in America by the same. As it is because we were born in America in a Christian environment, born in a Christian family, so we're Christians. But actually, we have never thought of converting to it or declaring ourselves Christians. I'm speaking of Christians in America. This address, or ta'aleem, if we can accept this as a ta'aleem, is concerned with the scientific definition that the Prophet gave when he said, everyone is born a Muslim. And it is the circumstances that he's put in that makes him otherwise. I would like to make it clear that the object of this talk is not to establish that everyone is born a Muslim, or that you are firstly a Muslim and thereafter something else, although that's our belief. We believe in the message of God. That's what he taught us. He brought us the Quran. How could we disbelieve in him? He brought us the Holy Book. We didn't have the religion before him. And he has also said to us that everyone is firstly a Muslim and then made something else because of circumstances they are put in. So we definitely believe that. We have to believe that. We're Muslims. You see? But that's not the point that we are trying to make here today. I would like to make two points, and I hope God bless me to be successful in presenting it properly. One is that the essential nature and character of man is the condition for all the great possibilities that God intended for man. That condition has to be there. That condition of being original, of being in the nature that God made us. That is essential, that is important. But in fact, it is a must if we are to realize the great potential, the great blessings that God intended for his creature, for that creature. When God made us, he made a specific creature. The world makes us little creatures. So some of us may be in the form that God made us in, some of us may not. If we are not in that form, then God is not. You are not God's man. You are not God's woman. You are not God's child. If you are out of that form, you are the woman, the man, the child of the world, as people say in religion. So we are interested in the form that God intended for us when he made us. The form that makes possible the fullness of life for the human person. The second point we hope to make with this address is that black people have been unable to function as a whole successfully in the environments that they have been placed into or that they have been in. At least in modern times. Maybe it was different at some other times. Ancient times, medieval times, maybe it was different. for the black man. We know that at one time, black man, and I'm quoting now, every time I say black, please see quotations. In history, that black man in ancient times had very, very important place on this earth in the life of man. Many have documented this. I'm going to mention a book that I have in my private library at home. The title of the book is Race and the Democratic Society. Race, R-A-C-E, and the Democratic Society by Franz, F-R-A-N-Z, Boaz, B-O-A-Z. And this book, Franz Boaz, who's not one of us, he's not African, he identifies as white people, he's a white man, as far as I know. And whenever I say white, please put quotations there. Yes. So he documents the glory, the glorious days of our people. In Africa, before they are embracing the message of Muhammad, peace be upon him, and after. All of that information is very important, but that's not the point of this talk, so we will not go into that. Now, I'd like to go to the words of God in the Holy Book of the Muslims to begin making some progress toward achieving what I have expressed to you that we hope to achieve. And I will read it in Arabic for the benefit of those in the audience that read Arabic. And the Muslims, somewhat like the Catholics used to be and still are, many of them. So even though they give it to you in English, they give it to you also in Latin. In fact, the first Catholic church I attended, they gave it only in Latin, no English. So we give it now in the Arabic, Quranic Arabic. You understand that before the Quran, the Holy Book of the Muslims, was revealed to Muhammad, the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, the Arabs were speaking Arabic. And one of their prides, they were not a great nation, they were not a unified nation, they were divided people. They were a divided people, tribal people, a kind of gangland people like. But they had excellence before they became Muslims also. And one of the excellence of the Arab people before they became Muslims is the language itself, Arabic language. They prided themselves in having the ability to articulate better than anybody else, to express very clearly and very economically, with the fewest words, they wouldn't waste words. They had the ability to make that point very clear with few words, very effective words in terms of conveying the meaning and also the effect that they desired. They were poets, many of them were poets, and the holy place built by Prophet Abraham before our Prophet Muhammad, the holy house there in Mecca that we direct ourselves to in prayer, was a place where they met. They would meet there, they would have pilgrimage, and they would also meet there to display their great work in the language. They would hang the great verses, the great impressive verses there on the holy house, on the sides of the holy house for display.
So they had acquired, and acquired was language. And the revelation came to Muhammad in their language. And Allah says in the God that is, Allah says in the Holy Book that it is revealed in clear, expressive Arabic, Mubin, very clear, very expressive Arabic. And it has come down now to us that the Quran is the standard of Arabic language. When the Quran was revealed, then the Quran became, our holy book became the standard for Arabic language. So Muslims, especially those who converted in America, the native Muslims of America, understand that when we say the revelation in Quran is Arabic, that it is not a compliment to the Arabs or to Arabic. No. The Quran is a compliment to Arabic and to the Arabs, because it was the Quran that made a higher standard, that brought Arabic to a higher standard. And now if anyone wants to correct or to evaluate the worth of a piece of literature, the Quran is the standard for testing it. It is Fusha number one. And Fusha is an Arabic term meaning classic. It is the classic language. Fusha number one. Now, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, when he was asked by some people, doubters, so where is your miracle? All of this is in way of introduction. So where is your miracle? The Prophet says, my miracle is the Quran. So he pointed to the very revelation that God had given him. He said, this is my miracle. Now how are we to understand that this is a miracle? In steps. The understanding comes in steps. We're talking about the Quran itself. How are we to understand that it was his miracle? It comes in steps. And the first step is the fact of the language itself. Muhammad the Prophet was not an educated man. He was an unschooled man, like Moses. Moses was not an educated man. But through this man, the Arabic language came to the Arabs in its most eloquent, purest, most eloquent form. So that's a miracle. That the best of your language comes not through your intellectual, come not to you by way of your intellectual, but come to you by way of an uneducated common person. That was his miracle. And it is not a miracle unrelated to prophecy. It is not a miracle unrelated to scripture and prophecy. Prophecy before the Holy Quran said that the word shall come, and it shall come clearly. And it shall come from the mouth of the uneducated. From the uneducated, not from the elect. From the uneducated it will come. Now, let us now give the quotation we want now from the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً.
And whereas your Lord said to the angels, surely I am going to make in the earth a Khalifa. Khalifa means many things. It is translated custodian, caretaker, one in charge but not the owner. That's familiar, isn't it? For in Christianity, Jesus said,
I am the caretaker, but not the owner. The owner is my Father, meaning God, the God of all of us. Yes, so God said he's going to put into the earth a custodian, a caretaker. But also this term is translated ruler, one to rule on earth. Now, we have some difficulty with that translation, to rule, a ruler, because God is always a ruler. If we rule, it's by grace, huh? By the grace of God that we rule. God is always the ruler. So what is meant here is one who inherits the rule upon what God has established in his nature, in his original creation. So the rule that trusted, the trust of rule, the trust of rule, or the rule given as a trust, is for this original man. It's for the one who has that nature, that disposition, that predisposition, that character, that spirit, that orientation in his soul that God created him with and created him for. The rule is for him. So God said to the angels, I am going to put into the earth, making the earth, a Khalifa, one charged with authority and trusted with the power to rule, or the office of rule. And God also says, and I'm quoting now from another chapter in Quran, that's from chapter 2, where I quoted from there, chapter called the cow, the female, the cow, Al-Baqarah, chapter 2. And now I quote from chapter 15. وَإِذَا قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَائِلٌ صَلِّ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَّرًا مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونٍ. I'll read it again because I stumbled over it. وَإِذَا قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونٍ. And when your Lord said to the angels, surely I am about to create a mortal from potter's clay, from black mud, fashioned into shape. And again, in the continuation of the same verse given later in the same chapter, chapter 15, quote, قَالَ لَمْ أَكُنْ لِأَسْجُدَ لِبَشَرٍ خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونٍ. And Iblis, the rebel, Satan that is, he said to God, I can never accept to make obeisance to a mortal you created from potter's clay, some black mud, fashioned into shape. Now here we come to the conflict. God intended for certain types of human creature to be leaders for human beings. But that human side was challenged. That creature was challenged by the rebel, who said, and I won't give the quotes in full, but just as quickly, who said boastfully, "I will not accept to acknowledge him as being above me. You made me first, and you made me better." Now here's a creature created by his creator telling his creator something different from what his creator is insisting upon. Now that is the chief rebel. So there comes the conflict. And to understand this conflict again, I'd like to give you again the quote from the prophet who gave the picture of the situation before it blew, and the picture means the picture for our circumstances, our situation. After it blew, and the Father, peace and blessing be upon him, he said, God showed the angel Gabriel his marvelous works of the creation. And when Gabriel beheld the creation as God was about to make it, Gabriel said, Oh my Lord, he said, how can any creature go wrong in such a marvelous creation? And then God, Allah, as we say in Quranic language, or the Muslim language, showed the Gabriel the creation after Satan had come and affected it, influenced it, to his satisfaction, influences in it. He said, my Lord, how can any creature go straight in such a creation? So at this point, we acknowledge that we are not left alone in the wonderful situation that God created us for. We have a jealous, boastful, arrogant, conceited adversary, opponent, enemy, called Iblis, Satan, Shaitan, devil, the world. So if we are not left alone, that tells us that we have to be blessed by God. The rebel is too big for either any of us, huh? We have to be blessed by God if we are to survive in fall. God created us with a specific form, far specific form, and long as we keep that form, we're in good shape. We're in a good situation. No matter whether we be in the garden of paradise, or in the land of the heathens, or in the environment of Satan himself, if we are in the storm, we're in a good situation. Satan cannot hurt us when we're in that storm. How do we know this? Because Allah said that Satan caused your father, your first ancestor, to slip out of the fall that God put him in, and that's what made all the trouble. But as long as he was in that fall, Satan couldn't touch him. And Allah says to all of us creatures, Satan has no power over you except to invite you. You have the power to turn down his invitation. But once you give any accommodation, to his invitation.
Oh, he's welcome. You have a bad situation.
This is in line. Don't worry. We are right on target. I wish I could have told you all what I had intended for this, darling, but I just said that would take up too much time. Yeah, I wish I could have told you at every point I'd like to digress, you know, but that takes too much time. You know, sometimes the best way to get to a place or a point is not a straight line. We like the short route, but sometimes it's not the best. Now let us look here at what we have in these verses that I have quoted. What we have for our interest as I see it. Number one, God said to the angels. God was addressing the angels when he was introducing his new man, new creature for authority on earth. He was addressing the angels. He was speaking to the angels. And note the language of the Quran, how God speaks to the angels. God says, I am going to make. And God said, I am going to create. And then note the language of the adversary. I am going to make. I am going to create. What is the difference? Make means, in Arabic, means start something. Start something to its conclusion. Start something in motion toward its conclusion. If it's forming something, then it's starting that form toward its conclusion. Bringing about activity in it, bringing about development in it, so it will come to its destined form or its for intended form. Now, the word chronicum means I'm going to create, he's creating something. It suggests this, that definite identity is being given to this. So one just alludes to or speaks to the forming of something, and the other term that Allah uses, that God uses, it tells us that something is given a definite character. Something is being given a uniqueness. Something is being given a definition. So he's not just making something, he's making something with a specific identity. So here, God is saying that he made us, and he also gave us our identity. And in keeping with the form that Allah intended for us, we hold to our true, essential identity. God was making a human person. God said, I'm going to make a human person. This is our essential character, our essential identity, a human person. Now, man is created and put in a situation where he has to discover himself. And then we find the connection for the black people in that in America still today, it is recognized that there is a kind of identity crisis for us. Huh? Now, many have forgotten that there is an identity crisis. But the identity crisis haven't gone. All we have to do is just look at ourselves and we see that the identity crisis hasn't gone. It's still with us. Because you still have black Jews. Huh? You still have black Jews. Black Frenchmen, black Italians, black Englishmen, black Africans, I mean African Americans that are black Africans, black Arabs, black Indians, and they're all among us, African Americans, so-called Negroes, used to be called, right? So all we have to do is just look at that reality, and you see we still have an identity crisis. And you know, when the average youngster, and I'll be rough, because some of us middle-aged are old too, if white people make us mad, we start puffing. Well, I know who I am. I know who I am. I'm a man. I'm grown. That's that trouble with that identity. You're trying to tell me, I don't know how you regard me, but I know I'm somebody just like you are. I'm somebody definite. I have a definite identity. I'm God's man. God made me. I'm God's woman. And some of the old folks will tell me that I'm a child of God. Don't treat me like that. Huh? Yes. Well, we know that there is still an identity problem. And believe me, we are not the only people that inherited an identity problem. All people at one stage in their development of progress had an identity problem. And if you study the history of people, how they evolved as a people and society, they had to discover, either by revelation or by scientific inquiry, an identity for themselves. Huh? Yes. Either by tradition or revelation or by scientific inquiry, they had to come up with an identity for themselves. So it doesn't mean that we are different, that we are troubled, that we don't have a satisfying identity. Is black a satisfying identity? I say no. That's why I told you to put quotes. Every time I say black, put quotes. I'm quoting somebody else. That's not my choice. Black is not a satisfying identity. A more satisfying identity is black American. We need more than just that black. Black is only a color. Black American is a more satisfying identity. African American, even a more satisfying identity. Why? Because it gives us existence before the American situation. And we are entitled to that just as other minorities are entitled to that. There's Irish American, Jewish American, French American, Italian American, Anglo American, Chinese American. But with us, we've got locked into something, or somebody has maneuvered us into something, intentionally or unintentionally, we've gotten maneuvered into something, and we say black, and that ain't satisfied. Black may satisfy the need for the present situation. But when you're using black, you know, it satisfies us and we want to distinguish ourselves from the white man. You know? But it leaves something wrong. Because that's not the situation you have to live with. You're gonna be addressing the white man for the rest of the day or the rest of the week or the rest of your life. I hope not. Well, we have to live with ourselves when we're not thinking about the white man. And black ain't enough. But I ain't thinking about no white man, and I'm in my house, and Layla looks almost white, and Wallace looks like African, and the children are all different colors. Some of you have all black, just the color is consistent. All your children, the father, mother, everybody black, consistently black. But that's kind of unusual now for us in America. We have those different colors. And we just talking about black. I have to look at Layla sometimes and say, Layla, don't think you're leaving you out. So it's not a satisfying identity. And I'm sure white is not a satisfying identity for all European descendants. They are not put in a situation where they have to have that. They identify according to the countries where they originated, the land that they originated, Irish, Spanish, whatever. And so it is for the Asians. So it is for everybody but us.
And that's what keeps us black. And I didn't put no quotes on that black. That's the one I'm using. That's my term. And that's what keeps us black. That's a term that you can find in the dictionary. Look it up. And stop when they give the racial definition. Just ignore that. I'm not talking about the racial definition. But read all the definitions other than the racial definition. And that's what I'm referring to when I use that term. Just being black. Bored. And all the other meanings that attached to it. Yes. Don't you know we feel a sense of void? We feel a void in our life? Don't you feel a void? What is a void? Something supposed to be there that ain't there. Huh? That's a void. But don't most of us feel a void in our life? Yes. Most of us have a big black hole, don't we? There's a big black hole. And it's really a tense. You know, the scientists try to explain the beginning, the origin of the universe. And some have advanced the theory that this universe started from black holes. Black hole is what regenerates it. That all the energy, all the matter energy, is so compressed, so pulled by its own gravity inward, that